Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
Welcome to the What Difference Does It Make podcast, a proud member of the Pantheon podcast family. Today, we've got a great guest. It is a chef, now author, Midge Truby. Holly, what else can you tell us about Midge?
Midge Truby wrote this book. It's a memoir slash cookbook called Rock Doesn't Roll on an Empty Stomach. And it's about her years touring and just catering and supporting all these bands, lots of our favorite bands of the 70s and into the 80s.
Going to learn a little bit about what they did. And we're going to learn a little bit about what we do on the What Difference Does It Make podcast. What do we do on the What Difference Does It Make podcast, Holly?
So you guys, our listeners, are going to learn a little bit more about us. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you can find us on YouTube at What Difference Does It Make podcast. And you can see lots of fun stuff. You'll see some of the outtakes from this interview with Midge Truby, as well as many of the others that we've done in the past. So subscribe.
Yes. Like, subscribe, give us a review. I think we took care of business here. Let's get into our talk with Midge Truby, the author of Rock Doesn't Roll on an Empty Stomach.
Hi, I'm Maria Shriver behind the scenes in Hollywood, and tonight we're going to show you how the stars keep from starving when they're on the road.
This woman's job is making sure that stars like Donna Summer, Billy Joel, and Kenny Rogers get a little taste of home cooking when they're on those long nationwide tours. Her name is Midge Truby, and she's not your typical caterer. Her Florida-based operation called Personal Touch is really a kitchen on wheels.
Hey!
Hi, Midge.
Good morning, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's morning there, afternoon here, so there you go.
All right. And you are you in Florida?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Always and forever, huh?
Always and forever. My son's at, you're in L.A., right?
Yes.
Yeah, my son's in L.A. My son is in L.A., so I know the three-hour difference. That's why I said, you're morning there, I know. How did you all hear about me? I was curious about that.
I was looking at books that came out recently. Cool. You are on a bestseller list, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. I was surprised. It's a lot of fun. Had a good time with it.
Your book is a perfect fit for our podcast. Your stories are great, and I'm curious from you, if you set out with the intent to write a cookbook or a memoir?
A memoir more than anything else, you know, like the stories. And then a friend of mine said, you're missing the boat if you don't put your recipes in there, because I was in the business for 30 years of cooking and catering. And they said, you'd be crazy if you didn't do that. And then my daughter was saying, Mom, you have all these recipes on little pieces of paper everywhere. And she's, you know, like, particularly the family recipes, I want them all together, please. You know, and so I thought, well, you know, perfect idea. So that's why I did like family and friends, you know, recipes in there more than anything else, you know, and ones that, you know, some of the simple ones that I used when I was on the road. And then when I was also in business, you know, so they won't challenge you, but they're quick and easy. And yeah, I had a girlfriend that said to me, she says, who wants anything challenging or long or hard now? Quick and easy is just as important. And I hadn't thought of that, and she's right, you know, so.
If I'm looking at a recipe, and if there is one, I'm not a good cook. I make the simplest of foods, but if I'm looking at a recipe and there's one ingredient or one item that I don't understand or don't know what it is, I go right past the recipe.
One that if it's more than six or seven items, I usually pass it up, because, you know, I mean, I just have to do quick. I like quick and easy, you know, the KISS effect, you know, keep it simple, stupid. And that was always me. The quicker, the better. You know, you want to be with your friends anyway. If you're entertaining, you want to be with your friends. You don't want to be in the kitchen cooking. I know a lot of people enjoy doing that. I was not one. I'd rather sit and visit and have a few cocktails with my friends or whatever, and not be in the kitchen. So there you go.
It obviously worked for you.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Trial by fire, I guess, when you first got started. I love just your kind of origin story in a way, in that, you know, you found an opening. What an amazing time to you tell the story of, I guess you were a volunteer somewhere and you kind of fell into it.
I was working for the Junior League here in St. Petersburg. I was, you know, married with two young children and doing volunteer work and you know, enjoying life. And there was a lecture series here at the local college. It was the Free Institutions Forum, and it was with Eckerd College. And so they said they're bringing in all these speakers, and they bring the speakers into the college, you know, like for speaking engagements. And then they did it for the city, you know. So I was asked to be co-chair of that, and I thought, well, that would be pretty cool to do. Was thrilled to find out that it was Sylvia Porter. And back in the day, back in the 70s, if you picked up a newspaper, which of course you didn't have cell phones, you didn't have internet or anything else, but you know, like the top 10 women in the country, Sylvia Porter was always on it. And she is an economist extraordinaire. When she started, she even went by a male's name because women were not supposed to know anything about economics. Wow. So, but anyway, when she came in, I was in charge of taking care of her and had the most fun. It was the best week I think I've ever spent just, but you know, we had such a good time. And she said to me on the way back to the airport, she says, "This has just been the greatest week." She says, "Nobody's ever taken care of me like you have." I said, "But you're in the top 10 women. You're like, you know, you're like a god as far as it goes, you know, nationally, you know, for women." And she says, "My dear, we're usually given a map, keys to the car, and our per diem, and that's, we're on our own." And I was like, wow, you know, that just didn't sound right to me. I said, well, you know, and I thought, well, how do you know where to go or what to do or, you know, where do you eat? How do you know where you really want to stay? You know, it was very different back in those days. So I decided I was going to research and just see, you know, like what happened. And I went to two concert halls here, one in St. Pete and one in Tampa. That's all I had on my mind, you know, was the fact of, you know, what do visiting people do when they come to town? And I went to some of the hotels. And of course, they didn't even really have concierge at that point. They had, you know, like somebody at the hotel that would help, but not like to the extent it was today. And I researched it for 6 months, printed up a little brochure, and then 6 weeks later, I had my first contract. I about fell over. So it was very quick. It was quick, and it just kept growing. It never stopped growing. It just kept going. It was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, I would imagine so.
It kind of developed into cooking. I mean, you were a full service, and then you went with the cooking, but you were not necessarily a chef by.
Oh yeah, no, I'm a housewife cook from the get-go. My mom was a great cook. My mother-in-law was. My grandmother was. Come from a large family, you know, to cook for 20 to 30 people was normal on a holiday, and that was just normal family time. And I threw that in at the last minute because I'm thinking, well, if you're Elvis Presley, you know, you come to St. Pete to do a concert, where do you eat? Well, he can't go out to dinner. Right. And then when I talked to the hotels had these big suites, you know, with full kitchens. They have gorgeous kitchens in these suites. The concert halls don't have anything. So when I talked to the concert halls, they said, well, okay, so you're Elvis Presley and you're entertaining at Bayfront Center. How do you get your food? In a styrofoam container, and it's left on the edge of the stage. Now, we all know what styrofoam containers are because we've been through the pandemic. But imagine having the command that Elvis Presley had, and your food is delivered in a styrofoam container and just left there for you to eat. I mean, that's pretty disgusting. I thought, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. Well, if they want me to cook, I'm sure I can go to their hotel. I can cook for them there. That's private. I don't have a problem with that. And that's what got picked out first was, you know, that I would cook for them. And I was shocked, to say the least. I am certainly not the best home cook ever. I wouldn't put myself in that category, but I can hold my own in the kitchen. And I know how to smile and say, okay, look in there, world. I have recipe books, so I was just surprised that got picked out. And that was the first thing. And then right away, it went on in with Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I did a whole bunch of other things for those guys right away, which, you know, vacations and everything else that was supposed to be involved to begin with. And that was within the first year. So it moved real quick.
You endeared yourself to these people very quickly. It seemed like Supertramp helping you out. Those were some crazy stories. Like as you build up your business, you're like, can you tell a little bit about that Supertramp story, like early on what happened?
Within the first year that I was in business, they asked me to go ahead and go down to do a show in Miami and then to come back up and do the St. Pete show. And this was after they had done the one show here in St. Pete and they were coming back around. So I said, well, sure. Well, I didn't, get a motorhome, throw my stuff in there. That's the first time I really went out of town. Of course, the motorhome that I got, wouldn't you know it, it blew its engine coming up the Florida Turnpike. I knew early on that you go the same route. Everybody goes the same route. Truckers, the crew buses, everybody goes the same way in case something breaks down. Well, thank goodness. Right behind me, I'm on a CB going, I'm at the side of the road. Well,
that's Roger. So 70s. You're on a CB radio. I love that.
Yeah, good old CB. My handle was Chuck Wagon, believe it or not.
Of course it was.
Chuck Wagon's at the side of the road. Go help mom. And he had his driver stop because he was in a motorhome.
This is Roger, and, Roger Hodgson?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so glad you stopped. And he says, well, I'm sitting here waiting for you. And I said, well, no, you're the star of the show. He says, show's not going to go on if you're not cooking, so I'm not leaving you. So, and he made Morning Thunder tea. Never had that before. I believe in it. It works. And we sat there drinking Morning Thunder tea, waiting for the people to come, to fix the motorhome and to come on into St. Pete. Which, of course, we were late, which is never a good thing to ever be late. But the promoter was okay with it just because Roger was with me. And I guess that's why he knew I better, that he stayed all the way with me until St. Pete. And my sister was already here in St. Pete. She put the coffee pot on. And I had everything else with me coming up from Miami. So, the day went fine. We just got off to a little bit of a late start. But Roger saved the day, that's for sure.
You have some great stories and the relationships, the friendships that you developed, we feel like it couldn't happen today.
It's hard because security is so much harder. And they do all these meet and greets where like the entertainers are so controlled. Okay. As an example, like Kenny Rogers, even there with the smaller concerts, you have the meet and greet, you have the formal pictures. Journey was the same way when they were in town. And the guys were like, their publicist going, you have to go here, you have to go there. And they go, but no, we want to talk to Midge. We need to catch up. No. You this is part of the gig you have to do, So you're visiting now, kind of in between. And you really can't just walk back there or say anymore like, oh, yeah, well, I'm supposed to be here. Well, I've always talked my way in. I don't know how, but I have. I guess y'all can tell I talk. So, but the security at the back door, if I say pass this note to so-and-so that I'm here and right away, they come and let me in, which is phenomenal after 40 some odd years for people to do that. Just blows my mind, and I'm very thankful for that. Very thankful for that. Yeah. Journey. I've done that with them. And of course with Kenny. To see him quite a bit. So that was wonderful.
Back to Supertramp, was that kind of like an aha moment of like, oh, I Roger thinks you took on this mom role and like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I am a part of this entourage now. I am part of this tour. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I said to him, I said, I said, you're the important one. You have to sleep. He says, I have all day to sleep. He says, the guys need you to eat so I can get on stage. And I really hadn't thought of it that way. I really hadn't, and that's very true. And then, like with Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, when I did that wedding, that's the first wedding I ever did, and I had less than 12 hours to put it together, and I wound up being in the wedding business for almost 30 years of the business, and that was the first one. Talk about trial by fire. Oh, right. My gosh. That was crazy. That was just crazy. I'm surprised I even pulled that one off, myself, when I look back on it, but I did.
Well, thankfully, you had help from your family members. You had siblings, and you dressed them up. So talk a little bit.
And this is my hometown.
Yeah.
So I mean, I certainly was able to. I knew who to call. Let's say that, and I'm very thankful that everybody rallied. When I would call, they helped. The thing that I noticed this morning on my Facebook page, that's happening now because so much is going on with the book. I have managers that work with each other, you know, like 40 years ago. They're all talking on the Facebook page. Hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Haven't seen you. One lives in Philadelphia. The other one's here in St. Pete. Brides and grooms that, you know, that I did their weddings so many years ago. Right. Everybody's talking amongst each other. And that's just so cool to see. I mean, I just am thrilled to death that that camaraderie and that friendship of them working so hard so many years ago, they still have real good memories with each other. So that's a big bonus and a big plus for me right now. Yeah.
I'm curious, you mentioned your family or your sisters. Did they continue to work with you for the whole time?
My sister Alice was on the first show I ever did. And Alice was with me at the last, I mean, she was there at the, when I closed the business down at the banquet that I had. Yes, was there from day one all the way through. I would say to her, she did flower deliveries, she did concerts, she did caterings, anything that I needed her to do, she was there. She was always so supportive. You know, and looking back, she says, well, I just ordered the book so I can read it. And I'm laughing. I said, you lived it. What I like what you all are doing, like the music is just so important. You know, music, it excites us, it soothes us, it's rallies us, it makes us cry, it makes us happy. You know, as you all know, with concerts, I mean, they are going to be coming back. But when you see thousands and thousands of people keeping time and moving and rhythm to what's going on stage, oh my goodness, it's wonderful. I mean, I wish the whole world could be like that all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll figure it out that it will be at some point.
Well, tell us about your first concert experience, like as a fan, not working. Where'd you go? What'd you do?
The first concert I ever saw, I was in high school, and I saw the Mamas and Papas with my first husband. We were high school sweethearts, and here in St. Pete, saw the Mamas and Papas in concert.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then years later, her sister was with Graham Nash at a concert down in Sarasota. Her sister looked just like Mama Cass. So, you know, it's all interconnected. That's right, yeah. That's what everything's so thrilling, you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, did you ever get to meet Michelle Phillips or
no.
No. No. How about Wilson Phillips? Ever work them?
No.
I was trying to tie it all together. Okay, my first show, I served them mashed potatoes. And,
you know. Yeah, but you know what? The thing that's the music, like I say, ties us all together one way or another because of the things that we like, whether it's the different genres and everything, and so many of the bands, you know, like know each other. You know, it's not like band A and band B, and they never talk to each other, or even on the tours, with the tours crisscross, and the crews, we would leave messages for one another and so forth all the time. And that was always a lot of fun too. I think people think that, you know, like everything's maybe disjointed and not together, and that's not true, you know.
Learning a little bit about our favorite chef to the rock stars, Mitch Truby. She's got a book, Rock Doesn't Roll on an Empty Stomach. We're going to perhaps eat a little something, have a little morsel, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycom order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast and our guest, Midge Truby.
Now, when I first read about Gorgeous George, I immediately thought of Gorgeous George the wrestler, but this is someone different. This is Gorgeous George the musician. Tell us a little bit about who this person is.
Yeah. Well, he actually was, he was Marvin Gaye's person behind the scenes. And George was with the Isley Brothers for years. I did track him down. The book has made me track him down, which was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I found his son in Atlanta. And I said, where's your father? He says, he's floating around. I said, what do you mean you don't know where your dad is? You know? And Gorgeous George and I have talked. And it just was so cool because I met him and he believed in what I was doing. He passed me on to the Commodores. And then years later, Marvin Gaye came in and they said, now the guy in the dressing room, he's like really, you know, he's very persnickety and we just want to let you know, don't be put off when you go in there. And I said, oh, okay, well, what's his name? Well, his name is Mr. Odell. And I said, you mean Gorgeous George? Oh no, you can't call him that. He's Mr. Odell now. I said, oh, okay. So I went in the dressing room, my usual klutzy self. I went and I said, I hear there's a Gorgeous George in here. Where is he? And he had his back to me. And this man whirled around, was going to say something I know that probably wasn't very kind. And saw it was me. And we started laughing. And the biggest hug ever. It was like a true reunion. It was great. It was great. And then, of course, Marvin died shortly thereafter, so which was sad. And then I lost track of George because of the memories I had. I wanted to find him, and I did, you know. So, and again, like you said, because of the internet, you know, yes, found his son, you know, same last name, but you know, just, you know, I don't really keep up with my dad. Well, you should, you know.
But maybe he will. Maybe you'll have that too on your record, a reunion of family.
Yes. Yeah. Matter of fact, I thought about calling him last week, and last week got away from me, but I will be. I'll call George this week for sure, because he just is just a great guy. And I know he's doing something in music right now, but I don't know exactly what. When it gets in your blood, it doesn't come out. Yeah. It's like what you all are doing now and talking with all the different people and loving the music. You're going to always have that. It's always going to be the curiosity. You're going to want to know what's going on behind the scenes, how people work, what you know, how do they do things? And it's just a thirst that you just keep wanting to know. like getting sand in your shoes. Florida sand.
There's a Florida. Yeah, that's a Florida reference.
Yes, it is. Well, you have Santa Monica out there, yes, and Venice Beach and so forth. So.
Yes, we do. Were you documenting these things as you were going along, or is this all from memory? I mean, it was pre-internet, so no. I mean, you have some great photos in there, but were you writing down certain things like, oh my God, I'll never remember this. I want to, you know, like keeping a diary.
There was no time.
Yeah.
You know, I was putting in like 18-hour work days, you know, like usually like 7 days a week. If I had one day off, I was fortunate when we were on tour. And it was just strictly really from memory. I've had some of my employees have reminded me of stories since the book has come out that I had forgotten. Some I wish I had forgotten, but I had. Just there was no time. I even had a cousin say to me, oh, you must have kept a journal. And I said, oh my gosh, no. You know, no time. And my children remembered a lot too. You know, I've talked a lot, of course, with them. We sometimes have different viewpoints. They were children. I was the adult. And even after the book came out, my son said to me, he says, Mom, there's some stuff in there that I didn't know about. And I said, well, you were just a little boy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a big difference, you know.
Some of the stories, which I found really, really interesting, and things that you forget. I mean, we grew up, you know, we lived the 70s, but your story about going to the supermarkets and having to have a check cashing card.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And carrying cash and not wanting to carry so much cash. I thought, wow, that was a, you know, who would think about that now? You know?
Yeah. I had a money belt. I had a money belt that I would wear and make sure that my t-shirt went over the money belt. You had to do it. And I had those little stupid cards. Well, they're like the CVS card or the, you know, carry your little card, you get an extra discount. You know, those little funny things that really, now you don't even have those because everything's still on your phone now, you know. And they would not let you even cash a check at the grocery stores then.
Yeah.
You know, so you had to pay in cash, or you had to have a special check cashing card so that you could use your checks, which meant I didn't have to carry so much cash, which I was happy not to have to carry so much cash because I was always paid in cash at the concerts.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on the road for any length of time, that becomes pretty hefty. In the truck that I traveled in, I had a safe built into the floor, you know, covered by carpet, that the money would go into the safe.
Right.
Yeah. Even my crew that was there didn't know that it was there. Now they know. They know now. But the safe was there in the truck under the floor. Yeah.
Well, it was documented, actually. There, you had Maria Shriver did a little piece on you. That was great because it saw you dashing into the supermarket. It was like supermarket sweepstakes. You're throwing everything in there, like, you know, 10 different shopping carts all rolling out there.
Yeah.
Is that was a typical day, right? I mean, that's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day. And then just come back and cook like crazy, you know, the rest of the day. And the difference of it was the fact that, say, like if I'm cooking for you, and say maybe you had wanted, or you thought in the pre-advance that you wanted to have strawberry shortcake for dinner, or you wanted use the old dreaded deli tray. And after 2 days of deli trays, you go, God, I just don't want deli tray anymore. Hey, Mitch, can I have tuna fish or egg salad, or can we do something else different tomorrow? Absolutely. Because I'd be going to the store that morning. Just don't buy deli meat or anything like that. Buy the other and just come back and make it for them. And that was always a nice thing to be able to do. And they appreciated that. That's how I made my business, really.
The personal touch.
Yeah. So
yes. Yeah.
You didn't keep a diary, but you must have kept like some sort of cookbook, like, okay, or just like, okay, today I'm getting X, Y, and Z. Tomorrow it'll be, you know, something different. Did you have like, was it mapped out? Like, this is what I want to do on a daily basis, or,
yeah,
you know,
basically
to mix it up.
You have like you say, ideally, because when you're on tour, they hire you because you have a budget, and whether it's even on tour or whether just here, you know, like a single concert, this is what we want for breakfast. This is what we want for dinner. This is what we want for lunch. This is what's in the dressing rooms. This is what we want afterwards. You know, how much is this going to cost? Okay. So you put the price figure to it, and then, you know, pretty much have to stick to that. Yeah. So you have the confines of the money you are being given to spend. And if I wanted, say, like if the guy said, really, we really want to have steak tonight, you know, I would have to go to the promoter or the person in charge or the manager to say, hey, you know, will you give me extra money because the guys want steak and it's just not, you know, in the regular budget. And then I would get a yay or a nay. Most of the times I got a yay. You know, it was all right. You know, like lobsters, you know, when we're in Maine, you know, you cook regionally. I did carry a few basic cookbooks with me, but I like to cook regionally.
Yeah,
so it's like when Maine, you know, do the Maine lobster thing, you know, in the South or whatever, you know, like do Southern cooking. If you're like in Tennessee or Alabama, Texas, you had to do barbecue. You know, in California, it was always like a Tex-Mex. I know that sounds silly now, you know, but then in the day, that was what people thought of, you know, California. And in Chicago, you'd have to do steaks or
sausages.
Or beef, you know. Yeah.
Did you ever get a curveball? Like, oh, hold on a second. I need truffles. And, you know, like, where am I going to find? There must have been an artist who like threw you something like, challenged you.
Rush always liked certain wines. Okay, when they were here in Florida,
is this the band Rush you're talking about?
Yes, the band Rush, and the wines that they liked were just not the normal wines. The wines, they're Canadian, and you're talking years ago. Now I could walk into a wine store now and get them, but not then. I used to have to go to Lakeland, which is like an hour and a half from St. Pete, or at least a good hour. Well, it would have been an hour and a half back then. It's less now, but you know, like to go to a special wine connoisseur place to get their wine. And then the vegetarians, you know, if they wanted special juices or things along that line, I mean, vegetarians were usually just thrown carrot sticks or celery sticks. And I mean, and I knew the difference. So that's, again, made me very popular with the people that, you know, were strict vegetarians. And Supertramp was a vegetarian. And they said, man, we're just so glad, you know, people are giving us celery sticks and carrot sticks for dinner. Well, that's not going to work. That doesn't fly. Mother's Finest was another one that were vegetarians. And again, it's a whole different ballgame now because people understand what vegetarians are. The one curveball that I always love to talk about is just the fact that Kenny Rogers was no secret with the crew. He loved pizza. So I was so excited. We were in Portland, Maine, and I'd gone down to the docks and I'd gotten lobsters and was so excited about cooking lobsters. And he and his wife came in with their entourage. And I said, oh, I got lobsters tonight. He says, oh, you know, I talked with Marianne and she says, I don't want lobster tonight. We'll do pizza. I said, pizza instead of lobster? He says, yeah. He says, you know, we'll just go for pizza. Well, the guys were thrilled because there were extra lobsters.
Yeah.
You know, crew in the band.
Extra,
you know,
lobsters.
They were thrilled, you know.
Or.
And one time we were in Macon and I had the grill out and we were doing steaks on the grill and they came in and he says, no, he says, I forgot to call you today. And which he had his guys call, let me know how many guests he was going to have for dinner. And so he says, I forgot to call you. And I said, oh, it's not a problem. Grocery store is right around the corner. Barbecue grill is still, you know, the coals are hot. I've got plenty of baked potatoes. I've got plenty of salad, plenty of dessert. I said, I'll just run around, you know, run next door, pick up some steaks. And I said, you know, it'll be ready like within the hour. And he says, oh, no, that's too much trouble. I said, oh, no, sir, it's not. You're the boss, you know, not a problem at all. And he says, no, we'll do pizza. I said, well, that's actually more of a problem. He says, why is that? I said, well, because of the time frame right now. I said, you know, like order pizza, you know, like how am I, it's not so bad getting out, but how am I going to get in when thousands and thousands of people are trying to get into this concert hall? I said, it's getting back. It's going to be a real pain. I don't know how that's going to work. He says, I'll figure that out. He says, not to worry about it. He's call and order the pizza. I said, okay. Next thing I know, and it wouldn't be done today, but I had two state police come. They said, we're to escort you to the Pizza Hut. And I said, oh, really? And they said, yeah. In the back seat of the squad car, I went with the cage and everything. I've never been in the back seat of a police car in my life. And sirens racing down the interstate to Pizza Hut. And the manager goes, oh, you weren't kidding, were you? And I said, no, I said, I told you I was coming. And I said, well, make this quick. I said, because this doesn't look good for your business to have the squad car out front with the light going rah, 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 like this, you know. And I got the pizza. And, of course, the crowd's going to open up. All the cars going into the arena, they opened right up to let us back in. And so Kenny figured it out. People wouldn't do that today. Back then you could, but not today.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Can we go back to Rush for 1 minute?
Yes, yeah.
I didn't know I was going to do that. Was there a favorite? Just so I live amongst Rush heads. Is there a favorite meal, a favorite? Do they have any preference aside from special wines?
Primarily fresh, you know, like fresh, particularly with the with vegetables and things. Mm-hmm. You know, they like seafood, you know, more than anything else, you know. And a lot of the guys, with being in Florida, that was always a big request, mm-hmm. you know, was seafood. So, you know, primarily that and their wines. And they were ahead of their time in wanting like silver service chafing dishes, you know, things, you know, like this is back when a silver chafing dish, you know, of course you had to go rent it and stuff. And that was all right, but it just wasn't done. They were always upscale. They were always upscale. And nice guys.
This was in their riders. This was required. This was something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So that's something you had to do for every tour. You're looking through this rider of like, okay, they need A, B, C, D. And
correct. Don't overlook anything. You better know it, you know.
Let's touch on that. Did you ever, was there something that you missed once and then like got the third degree on that? Never. No. You're good.
No. Thank you. Speaking of riders, thank you for confirming the brown M&M story.
It's funny. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Everyone knows it, but we only know it because we've heard it. Now I know it from a source.
Right. Well, and the thing too that David Lee told me this himself, but he said, you know, like with the writers, you expect everybody to read them. They're supposed to know. They said it's not so much that is, well, and he did say we do it because we can. And they were at the top of the heap. They could ask for anything and they should have, you know, and get it. There's no two ways about it. But he said, like, when you're putting a guy in the ceiling to do the rigging, you know, like to get all your wires up there to hang all this equipment and so forth, we want to make sure that these promoters are reading these riders. So we threw the catch ball at the end saying no brown M&Ms. Well, guess what? If we walked in and we saw that, you know, the brown M&Ms were not out, we would think, well, what else is not right?
Yeah.
What else did they not do that they should have done? And I thought that was a real common sense approach, was, you know, and I love that band. That's one of my most favorite bands ever, 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 ever. And then they weren't the bad boys of rock and roll. Everybody always said they were, but they were always very good to me. So, yeah, big fans of theirs. Yep.
They were so respectful of you when you asked them not to trash the dressing room.
Yes. I had bets on that night. We had bets that night. The crew was saying they're not going to be able to resist this. I said, oh yeah, no, they promised me they wouldn't. And I remember when we all went running in after they left, I made money that night. We had $5 bets going. So I was glad I won. Thank goodness. You know, so we always found our fun on the side, but they never did trash my dressing rooms. And that comes back to, I think, not putting their table in front of the urinal. I believe that with all my heart. You know, it's like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, that's gross and disgusting, so I wouldn't do it. So that's how that happened, really and truly. So, you know.
You respected them, and they gave you their respect in return.
Well, you know, Holly, to me, it's anything with people, you know, it's like people want to be treated as people, no matter what you are or what you do. I think that, you know, I was always raised, you know, you treat people like, you know, you want to be treated. And just because they might make a gazillion dollars, they didn't always make a gazillion dollars. They are people. And a couple of my employees, particularly this past year, they said, you know, we never forgot. You always said, remember, they put their pants on the same way that we do every day. You know, one leg at a time, you know, be polite. Everybody can have a bad day, but if you're polite, yes, sir, no, sir, You know, I don't care what they ask you, just smile and then you come to me. If it's a problem, come to me. Just go yes and come to me and I'll figure it out. And that was, that is really what we did.
Yeah.
So, and we figured it out. So.
Yeah, that was actually one of the best photos in there is Lionel Richie acknowledging you because he had, apparently he got some barbecue and he was very happy about that. And can you touch on that, what happened there and on stage?
They had eaten a lot that night, which I had gotten barbecue from the best barbecue place here in town at the time. You know,
they're from Tuskegee, Alabama. So they love their barbecue.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the guys had asked, you know, like, well, how about barbecue? I said, oh, no problem. Because there was this famous the Big Tim now is long deceased and his business is not there anymore. But I think very kindly of him. And they had brought the barbecue down and it was so wonderful. And the guys just freaked out. It was just really, really good. And they ate and ate and ate. And then they literally from the table, they where they were sitting, they just laid on the floor. And they said, how are we going to entertain tonight? And I'm looking at these guys all on the floor and they said, they had to get in their costumes. I mean, you know, their skin tight costumes and everything. They said, we never do this, but we couldn't help ourselves. So it was all, they waited to the last minute to get dressed and then their show Commodores high energy show. And they did it. And it was here in St. Pete where I was able to, the backstage area was elevated and I could stand there and watch the show and not be in anybody's way. And it was great. And he came around and did the bow. And I was like, like you're saying with cameras, all we had is little brownies.
Yeah.
The pictures that are in the book were just little, from my little stupid camera. I mean, we didn't have high tech stuff.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of times I didn't pull it out. So it was like, everybody comes with these big fancy cameras and I had this little bitty brownie or something,
Kodak Instamatic.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
But there was one particular song that Lionel sang to you. What was it? Or looking at you.
He acknowledged you.
Yeah.
It's in the book. I know.
It's in the book. It's in the book. Right now I can't think of the title.
It was Three Times a Lady.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Three times a lady.
Once, twice, three times a lady. Yeah, I just, that was a big thrill. That was a big thrill. I think I was like in shock, even with that. And I just happened to catch him. And that's like one of my, that is one of my favorite ones because that's just not done,
Yeah, that's very nice.
I could be done with my career if Lionel Richie sang that to me.
It was just starting up back then. Me.
Yeah, he was just starting. He was just starting then. Things change for all of us. Things change. You never know where you guys are going to wind up.
We didn't see ourselves doing this.
I think this is where we wound up.
Hey, that's not bad. Hey, but you're a lot younger than me. You got a long ways to go yet. Long ways to go.
It's nice of you to say, but not.
All right. Uniforms survive? You have any of those left over? What did it look like?
Oh, you mean my personal touch shirt? Is it green that you're wearing?
Yes.
Green. Okay. That was my color. It was a Kelly green with the white print. It had personal touch on the front and then names, then our names on the back. And
which is a brilliant touch, so everyone knows everyone's name. That's great.
Right. I picked green, even the print of my brochure and everything, I wanted it green. And all the printers kept saying, oh, everything's in black and red. Green is a special run. I said, well, I want to do green. I don't want to do the same old black and red. I don't want to do that. And they said, oh, okay. And then my husband said, well, why do you want to do green? I said, well, because green's the color of money. And that's to remind me that I'm in business, like to make money, which that was always a joke. But it wasn't a joke. It was true.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you follow your passion. If you take care of your customers, the money will come. It's like what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, you take care of your people first and everything else will fall into line. That was always my philosophy.
I guess you learned that from your economist author friend who got you started.
You know, she and I stayed, we stayed friends till the day she died. I have letters from her, and I was able to call her and talk with her and even tell her how thankful I was that conversation that we had going back to the airport, how it started my business. She just said she was just thrilled to think that she had, you know, like been part of it. And I just loved her to death, you know, so it was a good friendship.
That's nice. Yeah, it was good to have a female friend. As I noticed in the book, it seemed like you were always saying, I'm feeding my men. There weren't, you mentioned Crystal Gayle, but it didn't seem like, what was the percentage of men to women? And did that ever switch up? Did it ever increase?
No. Or
it was always?
No, all the crews at the time were men.
Always
the
men.
The only females, only men.
Yeah.
The girls that were on the road were like the singers, you know, the backup singers or the entertainers themselves. Like you say, Crystal Gayle. Oh my goodness. I mean, I'm still friends with her. That was their 50th wedding anniversary yesterday.
Oh, nice.
She and Bill married 50 years yesterday. And we sent messages back and forth to each other even yesterday, which is just such a thrill, mm-hmm. you know, to me to have known them, you know, that long. And, so the women, you know, that were there were the entertainers or the singers, you know, themselves. And of course now, you know, and I know this from being backstage with Journey recently. And of course, Billy Joel. And it was the fact that there are women on these crews, you know, they're stagehands, you know, there's lots of women back there now. And there wasn't then at all.
Before we do let you go, this is probably going to air 4th of July weekend. So I'm going to plan a feast on 4th of July weekend. What should I plan out? Give me some ideas.
4th of July has always been hamburgers and hot dogs. If you don't do hamburgers and hot dogs, then you've got to do ribs and you've got to do chicken. But then you definitely have to have potato salad. You have to have baked beans. You have to have watermelon. There's no two ways about it. Strawberry shortcake, you know, with blueberries in there. I mean, that's a must. Plenty of iced tea. Get some fresh mint, you know, so that you can have mint in your iced tea. For the beer drinkers, you got to have beer. But I know that wine is much more popular now. So wine coolers or something like that, you know. But enjoy. Make it simple. Have fun. And wave your flags. And enjoy the fireworks. Enjoy the fireworks.
Yeah, all right. Well, Holly, anything else before we say goodbye?
Okay, I did want to mention something, which was the running theme, I think, from the beginning of the book. I really appreciated how you had flowers on all the tables.
Yes, thank you.
I think that's a really nice touch. And we don't think, you know, that much of it now, but I'm sure then, you know, it's just a special, personal, pretty touch.
Well, that's why the red and white tablecloth, you know, that's on the front of the book, I always had the red and white check. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, like with the flowers, you know, with it. And of course, at these shows, people are always throwing flowers up on stage. Well, the guys would just hand them to me. And then, of course, I would cut them down and put them in vases, you know, and that just wound up, you know, being standard fare, you know, give all the flowers to mom, you know, anybody throwing up, you know, stuffed animals, whatever, give them to mom. She'll take them home to her kids, which I did. You know, my kids always knew, you know, stuff was coming. They never knew what it was. Of course, I never knew what it was either, you know, so come to think of it, when I was backstage with Billy Joel having dinner with my friend Boomer, I don't remember seeing flowers on the table. And that was just before the pandemic when Bill came through here. And it's, again, it's just something that was added, and it was fun. I enjoyed that.
A nice touch.
That's why I opened up the flower shop, I guess, you know.
So
I
love
flowers.
Gone from fans, and also you had another source to get the flowers, as I remember.
Yes. You want me to tell that story?
Well, might as well. I mean,
it's in the book, so they're going to know that the son of the funeral home director had no idea this was going on because he was just a little boy. And he sent me a text the other day. He says, I ordered your book. I said, well, you're gonna learn something in there that you're going to be very surprised, because when I talk about my aunt and I talk about the gentleman that owned the funeral home, I said, that's your father. And he hasn't written me back yet, and I know he will. But my aunt was in the garden club, and she knew everything about flowers. And so when I started this, I said, I have to have flowers. I know the look I want, and I need flowers. And I said, but I don't have any money. And she says, well, I know so-and-so with this funeral home. And he says, well, I'll make a call to him. So called him and he says, oh, we always have flowers left over. You know, she can come pick these up. That's not a problem. This is before people did anything to the hospitals or for shelters or anything like that. I mean, we didn't have any of that then. You know, it just wasn't done. So I would go over and pick up leftover funeral arrangements. Yes, they were. Brought them home, recut the flowers, put them in vases, and that's how it first started. And granted, if the men knew that now, and of course they will because it's in the book, they'd be super grossed out. You know, I mean, you know, whoa, that's so bad. But that was just a short period of time, too, because after that, it's just like I said, I opened my own florist and had my own flowers and everything. But that's how that got going. And the response was so good. I knew I had to continue doing it. And when I was on the road, I always got flowers from, you know, the grocery store that I was at or saved them from the night before, you know, when people threw them up on stage. That's how it got started.
Wonderful. Turning lemons into lemonade. Might as well. Exactly. We got these.
I have that pillow in my living room. I love that phrase. I do. I've lived with that forever. Yeah. When given lemons, make lemonade. You bet.
Very good. Yeah. That's the way you've lived your life. So that's wonderful. This book is really, truly wonderful. Rock doesn't roll on an empty stomach. And
thank you.
Midge Truby, thank you so much for being with us. This was
thank you for asking me.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking me. This is really exciting for me and I appreciate the offer and thank you so much for spending your time with me. I look forward to, I am going to be following you from now on out. I've seen the other two that you've done, you know, since I've just met you guys. I've seen two of them and I really enjoy them. So I will be watching.
All right.
I'll be watching. I look forward to see who else you interview too in the future.
Me too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So that was kind of cool. There was a talk about my second favorite topic, which is food. Do you enjoy that, Holly?
Yeah, what's your first favorite topic?
Well, of course, our podcast. My first favorite topic is podcasting about music. So food and music, how can you go wrong?
What more is there in life?
Yes.
That was really a lot of fun. I love Midge.
Yes, the book is called Rock Doesn't Roll on an Empty Stomach, and we recommend you pick up that book. It's also a cookbook.
And if you're like me, you like recipes that have simple ingredients and not too many steps, and there are quite a few of those in the book, so that's another big plus.
As Mitch says, keep it simple, stupid. So that's what we do here at What Difference Does It Make? We try and keep it simple, stupid.
So you should simply follow us on social media. Just look for WDDIM Podcast and check us out and find out more about us.
Yes, I'm curious as to see what Holly will post on YouTube because things that sometimes don't make it onto the podcast manage to make it onto our YouTube page. Mm-hmm. So follow and subscribe, like and subscribe on YouTube. Just do a search for What Difference Does It Make and you will find us. Until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.